I don't know about the rest of you, but were you out of breath? That was awesome. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. Thank you, Jody, for leading that. I asked him if he would do that last song that we did, and he came up with the rest. Joy, I'm so thankful for Joy. She's going to help us as we end, too. And the worship team, thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. Well, this morning, I want to cover, as Jody was saying, Psalm 34. But before we get into that passage, I have a few things I wanted to lead into. My wife, Nancy, I'm thankful for her. Her dad is 96 years old. He lives up on the Canadian border in Minnesota, and he has raised bees all of his life. Raised honeybees. Now, he finally had to give it up about mid-80, but he loves honey. And right now he's in a nursing home, but if you were to visit his house when he was still at home, that's crackling in the back. Am I too loud? Okay.
No, if you want, just move it away from your mouth just a hair.
Okay. And so if you went to visit him, he would say, "Sit down. Would you like to have some toast with our honey?" I mean, he would just slather it on the toast. Love honey. He would say, "Here, try some of this. You say you don't like honey. Now, I know there's some allergies, but here, try this." And so he'd have you wait till you put it in your mouth and roll it around and say, "Oh, that's good." And he'd say, "I knew you'd like it." A scientist, on the other hand, he would say, of course it's good. I mean, look at all the chemicals that are in honey. And the molecular structure, look at it. And he'd even put a slide up that shows where the tongue senses sweetness. Say, "Well, of course, it's sweet. It's honey." But have you tasted clover honey up in northern Minnesota? What about orange blossom honey from around here? One of my favorites, Mosquito Lagoon honey. Have you ever had that? It is dark, dark. It's almost black, and it's strong. Oh, it's good. Or what about palmetto honey? Put it in your mouth. Roll it around and taste it. It's good. Well, how did he know it was good? Well, he spent a whole lifetime of experience. He was convinced honey, doesn't matter what it is, honey is good. Unfortunately, we, myself included, tend to look at God's Word. I appreciate what Gene had to share this morning, our worship, call to worship. I tend at times to look at God's Word and His promises and say, "Oh yeah, I know God's good. I know He loves me. I know He forgives me. I know all that." But how do you know that? Have you taken His Word and take a piece of it, consider it, roll it around in my head, and try it? Well, I know a lot about God. I know a lot about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I was in Awana. I learned all those verses. I know all about the Word of God. But do you know Him? I give mine consent, like the rich young ruler, I give mine consent to Scripture. It's God's Word, after all, of course. But have we tasted and tried His promises? Let's look at verse 34. If you know the song, you probably don't need the words because you can just quote it. But I'm not going to try. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble or the afflicted shall hear of it and be glad. Another way you could say that is let the helpless take heart. Verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears or worries. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6, this poor man cried out. Another translation says, in my desperation, I prayed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him. That word heard and that word delivered and that word saved are all from the same root. And it means to lean in. And not only to lean in, but it means to with the heart. So I hear with my ear and I listen with my heart. This poor man cried out. The Lord heard him and saved him. Did I say heard and saved was the same word? I'm sorry, I mixed that up. He heard, inclined his ear with his heart, and saved. Saved and deliver means to save out of, like take me out of the situation, or give me strength as I'm going through that situation. So the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them or draws them out of despair and troubles. Verse 8, oh, taste and see. The Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Let's pray. Sorry about that. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for inclining your ear to me, to each of us here. Thank you, Lord, that you hear and you have a heart to respond. So, Lord, today as we look in this topic, Lord, I ask that you would just stir our hearts to look to you. Commit our time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm not sure where you are today in your journey of faith, your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Yeah, that's an awesome truth. I believe that. Until something goes sour, or south, or wrong, then I begin to doubt his promise. Verse 6 says he inclines his ear. He leans in to help, to comfort and deliver. When difficulty comes, do I know him to turn to? To appropriate his strength for my trial, or maybe pray for someone who's having the same difficulty. Or to encourage others. I have never done this before. Kind of like parenting, right? We figure it out as we go. And I think life at times is like that. In Scripture, the concept of a protective fence was often described as a hedge. Hedges often refer to a protective barrier in Scripture. Back in Jesus' day, wooden fence posts and the cross poles weren't really available, so they used what they had. They picked up the stones from out in the field and then stacked them up and made a wall. Or maybe they planted plants with thorns on them to keep the thieves out and the animals in. Now, while the term hedge can be used to describe a literal fence, like those used to protect vineyards and farms from animals and thieves. More commonly in Scripture, it's used figuratively. Figuratively. In a spiritual sense. A hedge symbolizes God's protective barrier around His people, shielding us from harm, temptation, and evil. We have examples in the Old Testament of David. You want Psalm 139, verse 5. You have hedged me behind and before. So in a figurative sense, a hedge is a protective barrier. God hedged David on every side so that nothing could come into his life experience unless it first went through his permissive will. David had his faults. A few times he found himself confined in a prickly hedge because he made some poor choices. Yet, Scripture says he was a man after God's own heart. God didn't condone David's sin, but when God pointed it out, David agreed, he confessed it, and then continued to trust in the Lord and his faithfulness and promises. So a hedge also represents God's providence and his sovereignty. The concept of a hedge highlights God's active role in protecting and guiding his people through his permissive will. Also, in the call to worship, we talked about Job briefly. Satan, you know the story, roaming around the earth. God says, what are you up to, Satan? I'm looking for someone to hassle. God says, have you thought of my servant Job? Now, do you think Satan had already tempted Job numerous times? I think he had, because what did Satan say? Oh, you got a hedge around him. Of course he won't turn his back on you. He didn't say I tried, but I think he had. God hedged. Oops, sorry. There, Satan was roaming, and God said in Job chapter 1, verse 12, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. And then again in Job chapter 2, verse 6, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your hand, but spare his life. Did you see it? That figurative hedge? Or hear it? God in his faithfulness allows trials with limits. What was true for David and Job is true for all of us who trust in the Lord. In Job 3:23, Job looked at his situation and he felt hedged in. He was so confined. He didn't have the background that you and I have of Scripture to know the backstory. Yet God allowed it. So hedges are commonly used with a spiritual meaning to convey spiritual truths. Jesus talked about hedges in the New Testament as well. Hedges also appear in his teachings in the parable of the wicked tenants. Jesus describes a landowner who plants a vineyard and then builds a protection around it. Verse 33 of Matthew 21. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall, a hedge around it. He dug a wine press in it and built a watchtower. Then he rented it out to some tenants and went away on a journey. Here, the hedge signifies the landowner's plan to protect. And so he built all of these things. In a similar way, as Jesus was talking about that passage, he's using it as God's provision, his protection, and his expectation of faithfulness from his people. The hedge serves as a boundary delineating the vineyard as a place of purpose and divine investment to bear fruit and to bring forth glory to the Lord. As we know Jesus as our Savior, God has hedged you and I about with a protective hedge. Some of his hedges, though, may include suffering. Some of my comments today are from a book written by a lady by the name of Margaret Clarkston. It's titled Grace Grows Best in Winter. It's really an interesting book. She writes through her own experience and personal study of Scripture on suffering. Job said in 3:23 to the Lord, he said, "You have hedged me in." But by the time we get to chapter 42, verse 5, now I see. He said, "Now I see by experience with you that you are good." So the four walls of a sick room can be a confining space, even in just a day or two, but then a week, a month, a lifetime. In the hospital or at home, how the soul and body long to be set free. Last time I was in the hospital, I sat there looking out the window and I thought, "Oh, I'd like to go for a walk." Yet countless people endure such imprisonment for weeks, months, years, a lifetime. Many, as you know, may be confined to a facility, while others must live their life in a wheelchair and endure the loneliness and the frustration of blindness or deafness or some other physical disability. And still others who are up and about struggling with physical issues or other pains and still living and working and taking care of things. And those individuals are kind of I wish I had his life to be able to get out of this bed and to do things like I used to do. But physical suffering is not the only form of pain, right? Evils of every kind are attendant upon mortal man. Tragedy, death, destruction surround us on every hand. So on and so forth. But only to see the Lord in my situation. I'm still learning that. We may have to experience the shattered loneliness of an unfulfilled marriage. Our lives may be shattered by accident, disaster, war. Many who belong to the Savior, whose lives are fully committed to Him, and who seek to live in obedience to Him, are tempted again and again to cry with Jeremiah, "He hath hedged me about, and I can't get out." So, over the next few minutes, I desire to speak to those of us who find ourselves hedged in by either a physical limitation or maybe some struggle, or kids we've taught to walk with the Lord and they're not, and all of these things. As I said with parenting, I've never done this before. How do I do this? No one taught me what to do when I hurt. So it's a challenge. How do we do this? Now, as I said, some of these thoughts are from this book I read, and some are my own. As I speak from the hedge of chronic headaches, over 25 years I've had these headaches, and sometimes they're just so strong. Sometimes I find the hedge difficult, feeling it's more than I can bear. Yet it's only as I view my restricting circumstances as being placed about me by God. His own hand, that I can find courage and faith. Courage and faith to face the many faceted strictures of life. This thing is from me. Were God's words to his ancient people. And we too must learn to say, it's the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Hedges can be thorny. They can be sharp or thick and high. Hedges shut life out and shut me with my pain and my anxiety and my fears within. But one thing it can't do. It can't keep me from looking into the face of God and his word. So as I consider that it's God's protective hedge just for me, to see my difficulty a hedge of his purposing, his planting, his tending, can make all the difference in how we cope with it. He hath done it, wrote the saint of old, and I'll lay my hand in my mouth. For if any other had done it, I couldn't bear it. But you have, I can. So for those of you who believe in the love and wisdom of God, a sovereign God, to see his hand in what concerns you, even a disaster can become awesome because of the fruit of the Spirit that comes out of me in my experience and you in yours. I had a friend when I was going to college, and he had cerebral palsy growing up. And Ken was a young guy, and he was very enthusiastic. And he would walk around like this all the time. That's all he did, just walked around like this. And I would walk to class with him, and he'd have his backpack on his back. And we'd come on the sidewalk with snow, right, plowed snow, and there's this big pile of snow. And I say, what are you going to do, Ken? The first time I walked to class with him, he said, well, I guess we'll go over it. So he fell over the top and rolled to the road. And then he got up and he said, okay, let's go. He learned to be okay with what the Lord had given him. So the hedge can cut off the world, it can confine on every side, but it can't shut our view of the Lord out. Because there's so little else that we can see, because we need God so badly, the hedged-in Christian, if you will, may possibly learn to see God more clearly and to know him more truly than a brother or sister who doesn't struggle. Nance, is my bow out in the... Oh, sorry. There's turkeys walking along. sorry, I got distracted. Let's see. Something else Nancy and I are learning through this experience is that our spouse, a family member, a friend who's assisting us, guess what? My limitations put a hedge around that person as well. So we walk through this together. And so my partner needs to learn to see that the Lord's good too. So as I mentioned earlier, there are a few instances where David's hedge, I was trying to thank Nancy, but I didn't want to start, you know. As mentioned earlier, there were a few other instances where David's hedge was of his own making. Our heads may be the result of my willful sin. Or it may be God's way of preventing me from walking further in my own way. Discipline is what Scripture calls it. Our God may have to break down that hedge that I have painstakingly built, trying to handle everything on my own, and build a man-made fortress that he has to tear down. But there's good news. There's good news. God has made a hedge around the life of every believer. And though those thorns seem to hem us in, they're in reality there to close us in to God Himself. What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yeah, but I sinned, but I love you. Just tell me you agree that it was wrong and we'll go. God desires both with us and in us to make of our thorny heads a thing of wonder to men, to angels, demons, a thing that will one day ring forth holy blossom to the fruit of eternal good and eternal glory for me and for those around me. Can fragrance and fruit come out of a thorny hedge? Well, there's roses and there's oranges, grapefruit. Only by His Spirit enabling me can I produce the fruit of joy and love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness through that experience. That why, after all, the thorniest tree of all brought the holy flower of redemption, didn't it? And the fruit of everlasting life, because Jesus gave Himself on that tree. So the infinite Creator hedged Himself about with our fallen humanity. He took a hedge, hedged Himself in, and in His purity He took upon Himself the abhorrent hedge of sin, which encircled Him ever more closely until it put Him to death on that tree. Cannot He who voluntarily and so willingly endured unimaginable condescension for our sakes, can He not be trusted to help us in our times of difficulty? If God has entrusted you with a hedge of suffering, whatever it is, let Him teach you as He's faithfully teaching me how to live within it, so that His holy purpose and His life-giving fruit may be fully accomplished through me, through you, through us. One other thing I'm learning is, folks, I do this myself. I say, I should go see so-and-so. I don't know what I'd say. I can't relate to what they're going through. What can I offer? May I just encourage you that if you feel that awkward, go anyway. Because they'll bless you and you can bless them. So those hedged in by illness or crushing sorrow, our struggle to find His peace is literally essential. Without it, in cases like I've seen, people just can't tolerate where they find themselves. Under the weight of our burden, perhaps with health already broken, our sanity too can be destroyed. Yet many of us struggle for years, seeking peace in 1,000 different directions. Well, all the while, He waits that we might accept this as from Him. So I'm sorry I didn't think to bring any pencils or pens, Sean, that handout I gave you, where do we go from here? There's a few things that I've been learning and I just wanted to share with you. Number one, praise. Praise. Accept that this is his doing. Let's look at verses 1. Oops. I think I have 3 through 5 up there. Let's just do 3 through 5. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Praise. When I'm praising the Lord, it's kind of hard to grumble.
Hey, I've got some pins if anybody would like one.
I might try to grumble. But as I praise him, it's really hard to complain. Number two, call out to him. Call out to him. He alone gives strength that we need. Psalm 34:6 says, this poor man cried out. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them or comforts them within the situation. Call out to the only one who really understands. What does crying out look like? Well, as we've been saying, praising the Lord, quoting scripture, a silent prayer. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord. Singing a song or a hymn that encourages us, like we did this morning. Tears, a few or many. From John 11:35, we know that Jesus wept. I like Psalm 56:8. It says, he catches my tears in his bottle. Tears are okay. Tears are okay. Or we might go behind the mulch pile. Now, I've done that. If you've been to the homes, you know that there are a couple huge mulch piles out there. And I used to go out there when I was still working, and I'd just stand there. God, I don't get this. What do you want me to do? It's okay to call out like that, too. And then, of course, staying in the Word. So valuable. Stay in the Word. Sometimes my tears are the result of a lack of trust. Most times my tears are tears of appreciation and thanks that the Creator of the universe would help me and he'd care. A while back, I did a study on Ephesians chapter 3. And Paul is writing to the Ephesians and he says, when I think of all of this, chapters 1, 2, and up to chapter 3, he said, I fall to my knees, I pray to the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, and I pray that out of his glorious, unlimited resources, that he will empower you with strength through his Spirit. The other day I was laying on the couch. The pain was pretty intense. And I thought, Lord, I can't do this. I can't keep doing this. And then he brought to my mind that passage. And so I rehearsed through it a couple times and said, oh yeah. So I said, Lord, I need your empowerment right now. And it's kind of like a voice said, well, Dan, I've been waiting all morning for you to say that. Now, honestly, the pain didn't go away. Not much changed. But my heart attitude was right with him in it. So praising God, calling out to him, then we should increase in our faith. Romans 11:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To borrow a phrase from a pastor that we know, he said, I grow in faith through his word over thousands of quiet times, thousands of devotionals, and church services and Bible studies. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. I think of that man who Jesus spoke with. He said, Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. And by the way, a reminder again, if the mess I or you are in is from your poor choices, all we need to do is agree with Jesus, and all of the blessings are still ours. Nothing has changed. He still loves me, he still cares for me, and he loves you. So from my experience, I encourage you to consider within your heads, just like Jesus, to wait on him. And he went through it. Because he thought of you and I above everything else. Above all. Why must this be so? Because he loves us too much to give us lesser things that we might glorify him. So we praise, we call, we increase in faith through the word, and then that brings us to the invitation. Again, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. It's like that honey. Taste it. See. It's good. There's a song out. It's called A Blessings. You probably know it. She has a line in the song that says, this pain reminds this heart that this is not my home. I asked Joy if she would help me with the closing song. So if you'd want to come up and I'm going to pray and then let's sing this song to close. Praise leads to acceptance. Call out to him and he hears. Increase in my faith and the invitation to taste and see. The Lord's good. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we would desire that you would honor and glorify yourself with our lives. And Lord, quite honestly, sometimes we don't know how to do that. But we'll just trust you, for you thought of us. You cared for us above all. Let's sing this together, okay?
Above